Welcome back to the Nerdrotic channel. My name is Gary Buechler. I am live in San Francisco, California, and I come to you from nerdrotic.com. And today is going to be the first of hopefully many retro recaps. And I had to start off with my favorite television show, or at least my favorite section or era of television, which is the new Doctor Who from 2005, the new era Doctor Who. And we're going to start off with the opening episode, Rose. Now, you might have noticed this is from an American Doctor Who fan perspective. All right. So, I give all respect to all English Doctor Who fans who have been fans for many, many years longer than me. I've only been a hardcore Doctor Who fan for about 7 or 8 years. I was a fan of it when I was a kid. I watched it on PBS, loved the Tom Baker stuff, but became like just a huge fan from, you know, the modern era. And it was really thanks to Netflix. When Netflix got Doctor Who and I was able to watch all of them over and over again, that's when I just dived in. Absolutely love the show and absolutely love the Russell T. Davies era. So I won't be doing every episode here on the channel here, where we are doing every episode for the Patreon. That will be a little extra gifts we'll give to our patrons. But I'm going to be doing my favorite episodes here on the channel. If you guys do want more, and if you guys end up liking this, please let me know, and maybe I can change my mind on that one and do every episode. I don't know. It's kind of up to you guys, really. So Rose is in my top 10 of modern Doctor Who. I absolutely adore this episode. We have the Autons in it, which were from the Third Doctor era, and it's a lesson in storytelling. It's written by Russell T. Davies and directed by Keith Boak, who most recently directed Krypton, I'm sorry to say. Not one of my favorite shows. And within the first 2 minutes, we know the character Rose. I really paid attention to it. I rewatched the episode before I started this transmission, and we start the episode off where we see Rose. We see her getting up in the morning. She's living with her mom. She's got a bit of a messy room. She works in a shop. She's got a boyfriend named Mickey, and she was out like having lunch. And this was just a little montage scene, and it happens right up until right about the 2 minute mark of the episode. And in that time, we know Rose. That is something that kind of lacks in storytelling these days, to be honest with you. Oh, wow. Thank you, Grafodder. Sorry. Hard to catch you online with the time difference, but with this show's theme, hello from 10 hours in the future. Hello. How's it going? Thank you for the super chat. 100, again, rubles? Yeah. Oh, shit is right, Gravlane. I can't tell you. It was really hard to watch just one episode of Doctor Who. Okay. That's something that I usually don't do. I usually end up sitting down and watching two or three. And Christopher Eccleston is one of the greatest tragedies of television that he did not get to do more than one season. I know it was because of him and his troubles with the BBC, but I really enjoyed what we got from this one. So we start out the episode, and you know, we got Rose. We know her within 2 minutes. Like I said, she works in a shop, and you know, within the 3 minute mark, we see her working, and the story's already going. She's on her way out the door from work, and she gets handed a bag, and it's the lottery. So she has to go find Wilson, the chief electrician, and she goes down in the bowels of the store looking for. Oh, and thank you, Dakota Stanton, for the 1776 super chat. Bad Wolf, yes. The amount was international. Yes. yes, it was. So she's going down looking for Wilson, the electrician, and she can't find him, but she hears a little noise down there. So of course she follows it, because that's what we all do when we hear creep noises in our empty store. And she walks through, and she thinks she sees something moving. And she walks by a bunch of mannequins. We think we maybe see one of the mannequins move. And all of a sudden they start moving and they start attacking her. And something happens that we don't see in TV shows anymore is a man grabbing a woman's hand. Because this is, I guess, is bad now. And we hear the first words of the doctor, which really sets the pace for this series. And that's what this episode is so great at. It's like, this is pretty much action doctor. This is a different doctor. This is a modern doctor. He grabs Rose's hand and says, run. And they run. And they're trying. And at this point, I did not know this. And it, some trivia popped up. Doctor Who is now on Amazon Prime, and we love Amazon. I questioned the move from Netflix to Amazon for Doctor Who. I no longer do that. I fully support Amazon because they save The Expanse, of course, another great science fiction show. But apparently, during this scene, Graham Norton voiceover came over the premiere of the episode on BBC, and the producer had to call in, and they got it stopped just in time for the doctor to say run, so he didn't, so Graham Norton wasn't talking over that, which is hilarious. They escaped the Atons, and the doctor's like, so what do you think they were? And Rose goes, well, they had to be students. Like, only students have that kind of time to be silly. And he's all, huh, that's actually pretty good. No, wasn't students. And she said she was looking for Wilson, and he's all, who's Wilson? And she's all, chief electrician. And he's all, well, Wilson's dead. What? You know? And she's trying to figure out what's going on. And he explains to her, and she has no clue what's going on, but he explains that he's gonna save everybody, even though nobody's appreciative of him. You guys all eat your beans and toast while I'm saving the world. You guys have no clue what's going on. And he's got a little bomb. He's gonna blow up the transmitter that's transmitting to all these living mannequins. Tells her to run for her life. And he's, oh, by the way, what's your name? My name's Rose. Oh, my name's the doctor. Run for your life. And she's got the arm in her hand. She runs, and then the building blows up, and she's like, oh shit, and then just goes home with the arm in tow. And we saw a brief scene of Rose's mom, Jackie, a character I love to death. But we get to meet Jackie for the first time. And she's on the phone, and she had obviously heard what happened to Rose. And she's like, oh my God, your skin looks like an old Bible. I look younger than you right now. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And we kind of see what kind of a lady Jackie is. And Rose gets back. We also get to meet Mickey, her boyfriend. He comes in and he's looking like he's a little more concerned than he really is for Rose. He's like, you okay? You know, you don't need tea. She's drinking tea. He's all, you don't need tea. We need to really go to the pub. And she's all, yeah, there's a match on, isn't there? He's all, no. Well, yeah, there's a match on, but that doesn't matter right now. And she's like, you go on, catch the match. I'm fine. Everything's cool. Her mom set up some interview for 500 quid. She hangs up the phone on it. And we see, again, the great characterization all done in a very short amount of time. We see that Rose is really just unhappy with her life. You know, she's your typical of the time, by the way. This was filmed in 2004, came out in 2005. And I actually spent a lot of time in London in this era. So I really loved it. It was right before all the buildings started coming up, and it was a really, really, it was, I love London. I freaking love London. So that's probably why I like the show so much, especially this episode. She just looks like your typical London shop girl of 2005. And she's pretty bored with life. She gives Mickey the arm, and he takes off with it and tosses it. And then we hear it kind of crawl away. And then we get to the next day. Rose doesn't have a job. Her mom's like, maybe you can go work for the butcher. She's like, I'm not going to work for a butcher. Come on. And she's watching the news, and they don't know what, you know, caused the explosion and all that stuff. And there was a death. And then she thinks she hears a cat, and she looks through the cat door. She yells at her mom for not sealing the cat door. And then we see the doctor pop his head, and he's all, what are you doing here? And she's all, I live here. He's all, what are you doing that for? You know, and then she drags him in, like, what the hell's going on? She tells her mom that he's, you know, from, probably from the government for an inquiry or something like that. And she's like, yeah, she's got genuine shock and trauma. She should get compensation. Oh yeah, we're talking millions, says the doctor. And then he's in the room with Jackie, and she's like, oh, there's a strange man in my bedroom. you don't know what could happen. He's all nope. And he walks away. And so we see Rose is asking him a bunch of questions, and we see the doctor kind of flipping around her magazines and books and stuff, and he notices her reflection. And this is where we find out that he recently regenerated. He's like, oh, look at those ears. Oh my God. But not too bad. So, you know, this is important, and it's important to, you know, they really tell you what goes down. And I'm not going to worry about spoilers on this one. I'm sure you've all seen it, right? And by the way, if you're new to this anyway, I do a recap and then we'll get to the chat shortly. So we, the doctor, this is the trauma doctor. Okay. He's just recently back from the time war. He's regenerated from the war doctor, we later find out. But at this time we were thinking that, you know, it was maybe the eighth doctor he regenerated from, and who just went through the time war, which isn't mentioned in this episode, is alluded to, but it's not outright mentioned. It's actually mentioned in the second episode. So, you know, Eccleston plays this so damn well. He plays like the quiet rage. You can tell he's so method, this guy. You could tell that he's trying to do anything to keep his mind. The doctor's trying to do anything to keep his mind off of what just happened. And that's how it plays for me anyway. It's really, really brilliant. So he's going through all the magazines and stuff. And, then he asks if she's got a cat, and then the arm attacks him and starts strangling him. She doesn't notice it at first. And when she does, then the arm attacks her. And then we get the second appearance. I didn't mention the first appearance of the sonic screwdriver. We get the second appearance of the sonic screwdriver, and he, you know, cuts off the transmission to the hand and tosses it. And, there's this, great scene that I love. It's almost done in one take, and it's the doctor and Rose walking away from, I guess she lives kind of in a council house, which is kind of like projects. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. Those of you who live in the UK, maybe it was just an apartment building. I'm not sure. And the only reason I know what those were is I have some friends who grew up in them. And she's, you know, and the doctor and Rose are walking around. It's like this big long scene where they're just walking. And like I said, it's almost done in one take. And, you know, he's explaining to her, like, who are you? She's like, I'm the doctor, just the doctor. And like, and she's, you know, she's, what he's noticing is that Rose is really asking the right questions. Like, what is this? I mean, are they aliens? Or, you know, is there a price war going on? Is it shops or whatever? And, he's kind of liking the cut of her jib, you know, and, so she finally, you know, is trying to get out of him, like what he is, what he's all about. She's completely confused. And, you know, he does this great little line where he's, you know, he holds her hand again, probably can't do that anymore, and says, you know, basically I can feel the earth spinning, you know, I can feel the earth moving through space. That's what I am, you know, which is not really an answer. And she's like, okay, whatever. She walks away, and then, we hear the TARDIS whoosh. And she hears it and runs back and sees that he's completely disappeared. So Rose later goes to Mickey's apartment to use his computer, and she starts Googling, which is their version of Google is SearchWiseNet. And she looks up Dr. Blue Box, and she finally catches on to one site and a guy named Clive, who's actually played by a producer from the show, and I had his name written down. I completely forgot it. Mark Benton. That's right. So he is actually a producer of the show. And, you know, she meets with Clive, and he, when she gets to the house, his son shows up. She's got Mickey, you know, outside, and he's like, you know, this guy could murder you. He's an internet guy. And she's like, I'll be fine. And she sees his son, and he's like, one of your nutters is here, Dad. And he's like, oh yes, about the doctor. So they go into his little shed, so nobody can hear them talking. And he has pretty much the doctor figured out. You know, he's got a photograph of the Kennedy assassination, which is you know, slightly alluding to the first episode, which aired, I believe, the day before the Kennedy assassination, or a couple days before. I'm not 100% sure on that one. It talks about him, the doctor saving a family from the Titanic and also saving somebody from Krakatoa. And he's got a drawing of him, which, and a really bad Photoshop picture, you know, like this is 2005 BBC. And I don't even think this was BBC One, right? This was on one of the other BBCs. And so the effects are so, but that's always been some of the charm of Doctor Who, you know, with the explosion of the hotel. That wasn't so great, but again, it's part of the charm of Doctor Who, and it's part of what I love of it. So he's pretty much figured out that the Doctor is an alien. He thinks he's immortal. And everywhere he goes, death follows. Death is his only companion. He's the storm in the wake. And he warns Rose that basically if he's here, that something's about to go down. It's really bad. So she walks out, goes back to, in the meantime, Mickey, while he's waiting, Mickey fights a trash can and gets eaten by a trash can and, replaced. So Rose comes out and there's the, basically a very bad, Westworld version of Mickey in the car. And it made me think, you know, Westworld could be a Doctor Who episode. It could, if it was better, the season two was better, but, Mickey takes Rose, so they go out to pizza, and you know, he's all pizza, and she doesn't catch on because she's all wrapped up in the whole doctor thing. And when they get to the pizza place, he starts interrogating her about the doctor, and she finally figures out what's up. And the doctor shows up with a bottle of champagne, pops it open, Mickey's face, his face, you know, contorts a little bit, and then he attacks Rose and some people, you know, after, of course, he gets his head pulled off, and the body starts attacking them anyway and chasing them out. They run into the TARDIS, and we get to see the inside of the TARDIS for the first time. And this was great. Gave me goosebumps again. I love this scene where Rose just runs in and immediately runs out and checks around, and she's pretty much overwhelmed. Her boyfriend might be dead. She's in this box that's bigger on the inside. And she sees the doctor playing with the plastic head and hooking up diodes to it to trace the signal. And she's pissed off that he didn't even think about her boyfriend and the fact that he might be dead. He's like, oh, I didn't even think about that. This is after he tells her that he is an alien and from outer space, and that's his ship. And she's taking this all in. And then Mickey's head starts to melt. So they have to take off. The TARDIS takes off. It moves. That freaks Rose out as well. They move right around where the London Eye is. And she, you know, wonders about Mickey again. And the doctor forgets again. So she's like, you're right. You are alien. Screwed off. And the doctor, you know, finally goes off and goes, listen, you know, I might not remember some kid named Mickey, which he calls Ricky later on, which is funny because that does come up later. And, you know, but I'm trying to save all you idiots here on the human, you know, on this planet when you don't even know what the hell's going on. So, you know, they move on and they figure, you know, actually it's Rose who figures out that the London Eye is what the nesting consciousness is using for a transmitter. And they, you know, and then that's where we get the first fantastic from, Christopher Eccleston. And they go under it and they find the nesting consciousness, and it's like this big vat of living plastic. And he tells Rose that he's not going to kill it. He's got a little bottle of anti-plastic, and he tells Rose he's not going to kill it. He's going to give it a chance like he always does. And he asks for an audience with the nesting consciousness and gets it. And it turns out that they nabbed the TARDIS. And this is where the first hint we get about the Time War. You know, the nesting consciousness is basically invading Earth. He wants to know why, and it's because their planet was destroyed. And all we hear at this point is like, listen, I couldn't save any of the planets. I tried, like, you know, but you can hear in this first episode, which pilots are always kind of rough. Christopher Eccleston is really one of the best actors out there right now who doesn't get enough work. I know I've heard he's hard to deal with. But he plays the doctor so well. You can hear the hurt in his voice when he's screaming, listen, I tried to save all the planets, but I couldn't save them, you know? And he's absolutely like acting his ass off, basically. It was really good. The Nestine consciousness, of course, is spooked by the TARDIS. They start attacking the doctor, or basically just grabbing him to keep him from using the anti-plastic. All of a sudden, the signal goes out, and all the mannequins start attacking everybody. And the first person to get killed is poor Clive. He's out shopping with his wife, and he gets murdered right in front of his wife and child. So we get to see that, you know, people did die in Doctor Who, but that was pretty brutal. And Jackie's mom was not Jackie, Rose's mom, Jackie, was out shopping. And, you know, even when Rose tried to warn her to go back inside, Jackie wasn't listening to her. She's all, "I'm going to go shopping, you know. And she ends up getting attacked, and you know, by some bride mannequins, and it's a pretty funny scene, actually. That's why I love this episode. The Autons, they all look like they're popping and locking, but they're killing people at the same time. So the doctor is saved by Rose because she was like a bronze medal gymnast, and she swings on a rope and knocks over a couple of the Autons, frees the doctor, and is able to get the anti-plastic in, and they kill the Nestine consciousness, who was voiced by Nicholas Briggs, by the way, the great Nicholas Briggs, who voices the Cybermen and the Daleks, and is made quite a living off of Big Finish and stuff, and is generally a good dude, but I'm a big fan of him. So they wrap everything up. Mickey is completely freaked out after he rides in the TARDIS, and he calls the doctor a thing and an alien. The doctor offers Rose a trip, and at first she says no. She checks on her mom to see if she's okay, by the way, and she's okay. And the doctor offers her a trip. She says, "No, you know, I got to look over this guy, and you know, I got to check on my mom." He's like, "Okay. All right." So he takes off. And he told her, you know, he could take her anywhere, but he didn't tell her one thing. So he comes back and he's all, "By the way, did I tell you it was a time machine?" And, she looks at Mickey and she says, "Thank you." And he's all, "Thanks for what?" And she's all, "Exactly." And she runs inside the TARDIS, and that is the end. We are off on an adventure. Now I've heard some people out there, maybe that's changed over time, who were not the biggest Rose fans or fans of this episode. And that's something I just don't understand. I like cheesy stuff. Okay. And this might've been kind of cheesy, but, I thought it really set up, this is almost a perfect pilot for me. It set up everything right. It set up the companion, right. A magnificent doctor. We got this background. Unlike mystery box bullshit, you know, they give us hints without answering everything, but they give us enough info to where like, ooh, I got to know what's going on. Now, you know, the word was out that there was a time war. A lot of people knew that before the series started. But if I hadn't have known that, I still would have been intrigued. The first season's got a couple of missteps, but nothing too horrible. And Christopher Eccleston is like one of my top three or four doctors. I freaking adore him. Also, seriously, the best toys of any show that I've ever seen. I know there's all your Kenner Star Wars fans and G.I. Joe guys. I've been collecting toys since I was a kid, something like 40 years. And seriously, by the way, this is I made my own Bad Wolf. I painted it. Okay. I just painted that on it. And, you know, unfortunately the batteries are dead on this one. This thing lights up, makes like a million noises. It spins. It's brilliant. And then the detail and the paint job on these action figures, by the way, 5-inch is a perfect size. And we have Rose and okay. This is not the best Rose. Okay. They had to do a second version of Rose. It looks like, Ron, to be honest with you, instead of Rose. But this is a great sculpt of Eccleston in a little action pose. And this is the only Mickey figure we got. But again, these are brilliant, brilliant toys, brilliant show. I'm going to get to the chat now. And who doesn't love Doctor Who? Now, what really made me want to do this was just what Doctor Who has become. And again, Dakota, thank you for the super chat, and for Grafader, thank you for the super chat. I really appreciate it. Rose is, I mean, she, while she's not my favorite companion, I don't know if I have, I guess what, my favorite companion is Amy Pond, But Rose is close. I love Donna. I love Martha as well. But you know, this show started, it was basically inspired by Buffy of all things. That's what Russell T. Davies had said. And his era is, kind of a modern Buffy. It really is. And this is prior to the Tennant era. And, you know, I cannot watch it just once. I'm going to have to go watch the rest of this for the rest of the day after this. And, you know, this is something I kind of mused over doing. You know, we had some people in the chat who said they wanted me to cover the show. And I mean, I could cover the show for the rest of the year and be completely happy. My favorite couple are, Matt Smith and Karen Gillan. Mako, they had a very good chemistry. They did. But I would have to say that the chemistry between Christopher Eccleston and Billy Piper was a little better than David Tennant and Billy Piper. Now, some people might disagree with me on that one, but that's how I feel. Yes, Gravain, Jackie is hilarious. And the growth these characters have over the next two seasons is like five seasons worth of growth. Russell T. Davies, you know, I wish I know he's done some other stuff. All right. I don't know if it's, what did he do? Queer as Folk. And he did a kid show that I forgot the name of. Thank you for the $5 super chat. The best line Nine has is when Jack says bigger on the inside and Nine says you better be. Oh, Captain Jack. We get Captain Jack this season. And, you know, I know he doesn't even show up this episode, but, the greatest, the biggest mistake in the, from the Moffat era was not bringing back Captain Jack. Everybody wanted it. Absolutely. Everybody wanted it. And I don't know why they didn't do it. It's a damn shame. And I hope we get some more Torchwood someday. Cause I love Torchwood. We also got a mention of the Shadow Proclamation in this one, which we see later. And another thing that, RTD is very good at, one of the best at, is payoffs. His payoffs are so goddamn good. For anything he hints, he doesn't forget anything. Okay. Stephen Moffat cannot say the same. Yeah, Man of Action, Torchwood was pretty heavy. And it was also pretty inconsistent, but, John Barrowman is just a charming dude and a charming actor. And he's one of those guys that just makes everybody like him when he's around him. And he also had great chemistry with Christopher Eccleston. Getting back up to the chat here. You know, I will cover the 1996 movie, by the way. I love the Eighth Doctor. All hail. Hail Eccleston Doctor Who. Hell yeah. Says Man of Action. Fuck yeah. You know, it's a simple episode, but it's brilliant in its simplicity. Another thing that I loved about the early episodes was Doctor Who Confidential. You got to see a behind the scenes, and they did one for every episode, and they stopped doing it, around the Matt Smith era, which I just don't know why, which is too bad. And you can still see those on all the DVDs. In America, currently, you cannot get a region one Blu-ray of, Doctor Who. You can go on eBay and try to get that, 50th anniversary box set that they did for a couple thousand bucks. Or you can get the DVDs, but, you can get some, you know, region two Blu-rays, but you can't get any region one right now. I think you can get season one, but you can't get the rest, unless you have a regionless Blu-ray player, which I guess a lot of people have right now. If I recall correctly, I love the chemistry between David Tennant and Donna Noble. That was the best. Their chemistry was excellent. I want a TARDIS, Dalek, Rose, and David Tennant, or Matt Smith. I need to start a collection. Well, now might be the right time, Mary Ashmead, because the value has gone down a little bit, but I don't think the value will go down much. I like loose action figures, so I took them all out of the package, but I have every Doctor Who figure right up to where Capaldi, the Capaldi era. Every repaint, everything. I have all the Build-A-Figures, which were crazy expensive to get. I think I paid $400 for that. Wow, Grafader. One of my mates was nagging me to watch Doctor Who for a long time back in 2009. Then I watched series one in one day after, got other stuff in classics and spent an obscene amount of money on a Briggs finish. Yeah. Me as well. I have, I've got boxes of Big Finish boxes. I was able to procure all the seasons of Doctor Who, and I did the same. I started burning through all the old ones, and I watch a couple episodes every week. Mary Ashmead liked Torchwood. It's funny, my wife does not like Doctor Who, but she loves Torchwood. I first watched Doctor Who when I was about 8, 1974, here in Australia. What's up, David Hill? Diane says, I have that Blu-ray set. Yes. I went ahead and I sold mine. That's the one thing I sold, because I'm able to, the only thing, the bummer thing is you can't get the confidentials. But I still have my DVDs. I guess I could watch it on my DVDs. But I sold mine. I got like an obscene amount of money for it. But now that everything's on Amazon at all the time, I can watch it. But I think it did hurt Doctor Who a little bit, moving from Netflix to Amazon when it did. The Fourth Doctor was the trendsetter. Yeah, that was the one that exploded in America. And, you know, the biggest mistake, the BBC has made a ton of mistakes with the show recently. But I think the biggest one, I don't know what was behind Tennant and Russell T. Davies leaving. It's better to go out on top than burn yourself. I don't know. I'm a firm believer, better to burn out than the fade away. But, you know, they bailed out right before it hit in America, and right around the 50th anniversary, right around 2011, 2012, it got huge here. And it's still pretty popular, but the popularity has waned. It has waned. And I think they've made a lot of mistakes to lead to that, partially sticking with Moffat too long. There's a lot of reasons, but, you know, I just, in the state it's in now, that's why I really wanted to go watch some good stuff. But I also have to remember it's in its 11th season, and, even a show that does change up every few years, 11 seasons is long in the tooth. Okay. After watching the classics, RTD's fixation on Rose 10 love story started kind of to irritate me too. And 10 in general, Grat Fodder. If you're watching the old ones. Yeah. I thought it was good because it was the one time the Doctor made the mistake of falling in love with the companion, and probably never ever to do that again. Look at it as, you know, it did go on for a long time, but look at it as, you know, when James Bond got married, like he did that once and he's never doing it again. I saw the Blu-ray set of Doctor Who. It comes with the sonic screwdriver, but it's $1,000. Yes, Nihilist Shadow, it's $1,000. It retailed for $300, I think. I found all 13 Doctors on Amazon. Think I might buy them. The box set. Yes, you can get the box set for like $100. Tennant was on Broadchurch, big success. Tennant is, and he's going to be in Good Omens too. I cannot wait for that. No, Tennant is a great actor. He's a freaking great actor, and he's great in everything he does. He made Jessica Jones season one. Broadchurch was a little dark for me, but I loved him. He was even great in Harry Potter, which is honestly the first place I saw him. Part of the problem was Clara was a backstep in terms of companion, which didn't sit well with people, says Dakota Stanton. Agreed. Especially when they sold her as one thing and they gave us another. I have the Doctor Who magazine that says the sassy computer whiz, and she was supposed to be fun and not like judgmental and angry. And yeah, Moffat was pretty patchy with his writing. Yes, he was. Yeah, the Purple Man was epic. Biggest mistakes that RTD did was making Tennant to use fake accent and not his real one. And not his Scottish accent. I like his accent. That's what people got used to. Yeah. That, I don't know what that decision was. Tennant is charming, even doing an American accent. David Tennant is amazing. Scrooge McDuck. Catherine Tate also makes a great magic dispel. Awesome. And how many of you out there have listened to the Big Finish stuff? I was so happy to hear when he was going to come back to do that. Tennant was a great follow on the choice as follow-up for Doctor. He was. He also played, you know, the tragedy of the Time War really, really good. I love the 50th anniversary special. I really do. But the taking away of the Time War thing, I really love that aspect of it. I did. What's Big Finish, asked Mako? It's audio dramas. It's audio dramas. I think Nicholas Briggs owns it, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, or he's involved with it somehow. And they bring everybody back. You know, they've been doing it for a long, long time. And they have, they did a 50th anniversary special of their own with all the older doctors, which was great. But they do some, I think, I don't know, is Matt Smith doing stuff now? I wasn't paying attention. But I know that Tennant came back with Rose. I bought all the Tennant stuff. I was listening to some of that on the way home from Comic-Con. And the one thing I did notice at Comic-Con is that the thing that still sells for Doctor Who is anything with Tennant on it. You know, so it's basically the fourth Doctor all over again with David Tennant. And, you know, that's going to happen when you change out the cast, you know, once in a while. The whole Bad Wolf story blew me away. Honestly, Gravelaine, I can talk. It did. One of my favorite moments in Doctor Who is at the end of Turn Left, when the Bad Wolf just shows up everywhere. And the music builds up, and Murray Gold, you know, doing the music, you know, season one was not his best season for a soundtrack, I will say, but he really finds his way and is really bombastic and is great. Smith and Eccleston, no, Smith and Eccleston are not doing it. They've got an impersonator for 10 and 11 from Companions. They've only got Rose, Jackie, Jack and Donna. Briggs is one of the founders, and he did fan audios back in the day on tapes, and some of those adapted into BFA proper. Ever heard of his audio visuals? I have not, Griffotter. I gotta look into that. The last episode I watched last night was Tennant running out and seeing Bad Wolf written everywhere. Turn Left, yes. Turn Left is a brilliant episode. Everybody, you know, hey, Blink is great. That's everybody's favorite. But I guess my favorite episode is Utopia. I like Utopia. Captain Jack, the Master returns, the buildup at the end there. That was epic, epic stuff. Good stuff. The moon egg thing made me stopped watching, says Dakota Stanton. You are not the only one. That was a ridiculous episode. It really did. It really was. Oh, hey, Eccleston left the series under a cloud. Short story. They had a falling out, but he wanted to keep working, so he left quietly. Yeah, it was something with the upper management at BBC. Not sure what it was. We've never heard specifics. My favorite episode was the one with John Hurt, aka the War Doctor. That would be the 50th anniversary special. That was damn good. I'll give it to Moffat for that one. John Sims Master was badass. He was great. Briggs did all of them back in the 80s. First, they were very bad in audio quality. They did recordings for effects on location, but then almost then it's almost real. Minion Hell, Sword of Orion are some of the audios and audio visual adaptations. Briggs, Doctor was once. Yeah, there was a comic too. You're right. Oh, hey, Apple Crew. Midnight, the episode before Toon left, was suspenseful as hell. Yeah. I love that. Hey, we spent a bunch of money on an episode, so we need one that's basically just on a set. And sometimes that's when we get our best acting. Yeah, it's the Doctor on a bus or on a shuttle that's driving out on a planet that's a pure diamond, and they can't even look at it. So they're driving out on a planet, and I guess they can open the doors for a second that are covered, but even it would just burn you. And there's something alive out there, and there's nothing that at all that could be living, and we never really find out what it is. It takes over somebody and it gets really creepy. Yeah, it's a creepy episode. Yeah, it's one of the best anniversary specials. It definitely is. It definitely is. I haven't watched Doctor Who in forever. I think you should go back and watch it. Not to should you or anything, but yeah, I was just going to peg like my favorite episodes for the channel, but maybe I'll do more. We'll see how this does. And I'm going to go up through the chat. We'll be on for a few more minutes. Again, thank you for all the super chats. But watching this just makes me miss it more. It's sad. It's sad that this is a show that's still running, but it is a shadow of its former self. And, you know, hopefully the new one will bring in a bunch of new fans, but I know a lot have jumped off, but I will always be a fan of this era and the older Who. And especially Tennant's era, and who knows, he's young enough, maybe he'll come back for another anniversary. You never know. The reflective mic knob, is it this thing? It's gonna hypnotize you, Dakota. I'll be sure to put a piece of tape over it just to avert your eyes. Maybe I can move it. Hang on. No, I can't. There we go. No, that's still gonna reflect. Sorry. We'll fix it next time. Give it a try, Gravain. Give it a try. Midnight's Paranoia reminded me of a Twilight Zone's The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street episode. Yeah. Yeah, it does. People turning on each other, and you know, we don't know who the bad guy is. The whole mimicking thing, that was crazy. And then when the Doctor gets taken over, holy shit. You can always do long videos about a specific Doctor, like a 4-hour extravaganza about the 10th Doctor, then the 11th, etc. More like discussions about the actors, companions, storylines. Yeah, that's a really good idea, Mako. I like that. I like the one where Tennant is wearing 3D glasses, where he loses Rose and Donna shows up in a wedding dress. Yes, that's where Rose's goodbye with the Cybermen taking on the Daleks. It's great. They did a theater play of Midnight without a Doctor Who reference. Really? Like they did Robots of Death play way back in the day. Huh. I did not know that. Yeah. So, probably the next episode I'll do on the channel. You know, I got to think about that. I mean, there's the obvious choices, but, I have to think about that. I have a couple. So when I say my favorites, it's probably going to end up being half the season, but we shall see. We shall see. So I'm going to wrap this up. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope we had a good time talking about Doctor Who a little bit, and we can do this more. And patrons, you'll be getting a lot more of this stuff, so I hope you can put up with it. And yes, we do have a Patreon. Check us out. Patreon.com/nerdrotic. You get stuff. Doctor Who changed, though, the last season, and this new one has lost something to the show. It did. It lost its fun and charm. And thank you for being the best chat on YouTube. I really appreciate it, and thank you for joining me for this. Check out all of our other stuff at nerdrotic.com. That's where our schedule is. Our next live stream will be recapping Castle Rock Castle Rock, which is Wednesday night. They're going to show three shows. So that's going to be a long one. Everybody, you have a great day. Everybody stay fantastic. And I'll see you on the next one. And if this does well, like, I'll set a regular time for it. Okay. So thank you, Penn Farm Girl. I hope you enjoyed it. Whovians out there. And yeah, make sure to like, share, and subscribe. And may the small folks sing songs of your greatness. Ciao, everybody.